Hi again. We are now joined by Bubba Wallace, driver of the number 43 Kroger Coca-Cola Chevrolet. Do you want to kind of talk about your partnership with them this morning?
Yeah, it's an exciting partnership with Coca-Cola, being a Coca-Cola Racing family driver for numerous amounts of years now. So continuing to grow that relationship is always fun, and also being partnered up with Kroger for the Red, White, and Barbecue platform has been cool. It's a tongue twister for sure, trying to get that through and not say Red, White, and Blue. But we're all, representing, NASCAR Salutes is all kind of tied in with that, as we're representing at the same time Technical Sergeant Scott Dovman, and his family will be here to hang out with us and have a lot of fun. So excited about this weekend.
So to open the floor for questions, Lee?
How did the whole Kroger deal come together?
Say again?
How did the Kroger deal come together?
It's a good question. How did any of these deals come together? The partnership with Coke definitely helped out a lot. They're in tons of markets, and we went to them and that they kind of come up with this platform of how we can kind of incorporate Coca-Cola with Kroger and celebrating with friends and family and what Memorial Weekend is all about.
Up front to Mike Neff.
Thank you. Mike Neff from FriendsStretch.com. Bubba, Daniel Hemrick was in here earlier, and I got this crazy idea to ask him a question, so I'm going to ask you as well. You've been through the summer shootout ringer a few times and actually raced in the rain. Obviously, we can't do that on like mile and a half and 2 mile tracks, but do you think it would be a viable option to try it at some place like, say, Martinsville or Loudoun with rain tires in the rain with stock cars?
No, because there's no room for error, no room for, getting a little bit of wheel lock up. There's no runoff. There's something to run into, and it's only 20 feet away. It's a big concrete wall there, so I don't think it'll be, we'll be able to do it anywhere unless we build some racetrack. Hell, we're building new racetracks inside of racetracks now, so don't give Marcus the idea. He'll build something.
Bubba, I know this has obviously been a crazy year for you with being your first full-time season at the Cup Series, but have you had a chance to kind of step back, and now that you're 12 races in and you're at home here in Concord, and how do you think the first 12 races have gone for you?
Yeah, no, it's been – I'm enjoying the hell out of this year. I'm having so much fun, and some weeks are good, some weeks are not what we want, but we're continuing to grow and learn from it, and that's all you can do. And everybody I've run into that has been around for this many years in this sport have continued to kind of tell me the same message, is that, not really blowing up my head, but kind of blowing up my head and, saying we're doing the right things, doing the best with what we got, and when the car's right, it shows. And, when we're off a little bit, that also shows as well. But as long as we capitalize on those days and get the most out of it that we can, that's a successful day despite the finish that we didn't really want. We're a small team, small budget, and we've shown some signs of great success throughout the year. So I'm excited about the tracks that are coming up. We get into the tracks that I made my first four starts at last year, while subbing in for Eric. So looking for a lot of momentum to kind of, come up throughout this next month or so, this next stretch.
We're going to go to Woody, Jerry, Jacob, and then kick it over there.
So Woody came with MRN. Want to look ahead to Pocono next week. Last year you were there and had an adventurous day and wound up passing out, I think, after the race. Just your memories of that and going back there. And if you're a guy who likes to chase one particular corner or be pretty good in all three there.
Hell, I'm not good at any of them. That's one of my worst tracks. But we had a good day that day. We had a good weekend, the atmosphere and just the moment, making my debut in the top level here. And I remember that day very well. I remember every lap, I remember every speeding penalty I had. I think it was about 15. But to be able to come away with it and fast forward it a year later and get to go back and re-venture all that, I'm excited about it. We had a good balance. We had a good car. For that weekend, or just my mistakes kind of took us away from what we really had. So we'll go back there next year or next week and see how we can better that program.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking the Tires.net and Performance Racing Network. Next week you'll have a different paint scheme with Wise, and this week was Kroger. It's part of the, you know, Coca-Cola and Smithfields. There was contests, things that are happening with your career. You know, how are you liking the exposure? Is it, are you pretty happy with where you're at and getting your name out there? And where do you see it continuing to go as you're kind of becoming a you know, household name?
Yeah, that's big. I mean, I appreciate all the support that we're getting from anybody and everybody. You know, being here, I'm trying to set myself aside from everybody else and be that different face and have that different attitude and cut up and have fun with you guys and with the fans. That's what it's all about. It's all about bringing a different perspective in and not being the same person. So I've definitely enjoyed that journey and that battle. I'm super competitive, so when we're getting talked about a lot, we have to. For me, it's like, you know, we need to back it up with some results. So and I read that stuff on social media, and I don't let it get to me. But at the same time, I'm agreeing. It's like, damn, we're kind of, you know, throwing us out there, and you know, we're not having the best weekends, and it's kind of not the best spotlight to be in. But you know, anybody that's talking about you is a good day, I guess. But we definitely look at it as stuff as a department we need to improve in for the performance side to get talked about even more. So we'll see what happens.
Go to Jacob.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport. Mike kind of touched on it a little bit ago, you being an alum of the Shootout here at Charlotte. Talk a little bit about your memories of coming up through the ranks on the quarter mile, and what does it mean to you to see it reach 25 years this year?
Damn, it's been that long.
It has been that long.
Wow. I miss race legend cars and stuff out here. It's I hate to see how it's kind of the path that it's kind of gone down. The age limit of getting into super late models and late models has definitely hurt. This process of going through these ranks, and I've always said when I have kids, which is years down the road, we don't need a follow-up question about that. I would definitely throw them through kind of the same path that I went through, instead of coming out of quarter midgets or go-karts and jumping straight into a full-size stock car. I mean, I feel like that kind of hurts you. You don't really learn car control, and you put yourselves in a lot of bad spots early on, and I guess you can learn. The learning factor comes up a lot quicker in that process. But being out here a part of this, and I remember coming out when I was 10 years old running the Shootout, and I remember this night specifically running on pole night. And we used to have the big screen right here on the front stretch, and hell, one race I had a big enough lead where I was watching myself going down the backstretch. I'm like, oh, okay, we got about 20 car lead here in the Bandolero, and I'd overdrive the next corner, messing up, trying to watch all that. But good times for sure. Being over in turn 3 and 4, or turns 1 and 2, watching the Cup cars qualifying after we got done racing and winning in front of a crowd. So there's a lot of good memories that come out of this place, and it's always fun to talk about, with Hemrick and other guys that we ran with, Blaney and Chase. Chase had the ugliest car ever when he raced. Green car with green wheels, just absolutely horrible. But there's a lot of good memories that come out of it.
We're going to go Chapel, Phil, and then David.
Chapel Fowler, Charlotte Observer. Bubba, this is the first 600 to feature 3 alumni of the Drive for Diversity program. You, obviously, and Suarez and Larson. Obviously a small step, but what's it like to see some progress for representation of minority groups in NASCAR?
That's big. Being, kind of on the leader of the forefront of that, with myself and Suarez and Larson, we all kind of know the roles that we carry and what it's like to kind of be in that spotlight. And, I'm starting to see more minorities and just a different demographic at the racetrack and followers on social media. So it's all continuing to grow. It's nothing, it's not huge numbers that are flowing in, and it's not going to happen like that. The outsiders that look into the sport think that, switching manufacturers and new driver and all this stuff, that teams just kind of change things overnight and become a superior team. That's not how it works. And it goes for the same as changing up the demographic. It's all about word of mouth and getting, one fan or one family out for them to go back, or for them to experience the excitement of this sport and what it has to offer, and them to go back and tell the next family, and it's like a, you know, a cycle. And next thing you know, you start seeing more and more. So, you know, for us, I'm trying to, you know, represent our team and my brand, the best and most fun and positive way for them to, hey, you know, we were around that Bubba Wallace kid, and, you know, he makes it enjoyable to be at the racetrack. And even when I'm at my worst, I try to put on my best. And carry that positive attitude. So it's been a fun process. It's a tough process. Trying to juggle all the emotions and the pressure there. But at the end of the day, it's our job to go out there and perform and put the best foot forward.
David.
David Scott from the Charlotte Observer. Bubba, could you describe the day you had at the Air Force Base a week or two ago? What that was like, and maybe what kind of different perspective it gave you on the military?
Yeah, you know, we did two in the last 2 weeks, right, Jeff? Yeah, we went to Seymour Johnson, and then we went to Fort Bragg. Fort Bragg is massive. We landed there at the airport there, and it felt like we did an hour drive to get to our little appearance, and it was just on the other side of the strip. So, but being at Seymour Johnson, you know, we got to do active shooter kind of gameplay and how they would handle the situation and go through all that, and how they would, you know, call dispatch for them to for the police and ambulance EMTs to come out and get on the scene. And it blew my mind, because, you know, an active shooter is on base in one building, and we got tanks and stuff in another building and all the big military weapon, but we still got to call the police to come in there and handle the situation. I'm like, seems like, you know, we're wasting a lot of time here. Let's just go ahead and terminate the situation right now. And it was cool to see how they went through it. They kind of threw a curveball on everybody that was participating in that. I think they had practiced up for a month or so leading up to that in one building. And then the day of, minutes before, they were like, we're going to do it into a new building. So everybody was kind of scatterbrains. And so it was cool to see them kind of go through the emotions of that, trying to figure out, you know, what they need to do. But definitely a cool experience in that part. Then going out and being right there next to the jets and the fighter jets and being with the crew chiefs and the pilots and seeing, you know, the checklist they go through. And it's the same thing for us. It's like a nut and bolt for us to make sure everything's good before they go up in the air and before we tackle the racetrack. So a lot of parallels. They're just going three times faster than us right away. We did talk about from a drag race, how far could we get ahead of them before they eventually caught up to us? And we were thinking, it would be a good ways, because, you know, we can accelerate pretty fast, but obviously they're going to catch us. So we were thinking, I don't know, 100 yards, we could carry them, maybe 200 yards until they blew by us, literally. So it was a fun day. It's always great to go down there and hang out and give time with the people that the men and women that fight for our country and fight for our freedom. And you know, that just comes with the partnership that, you know, RPM and Richard Petty and the Air Force have, doing those fun, exciting things, getting to go up in the jets and have fun, jump out of helicopters and airplanes and do all that fun stuff. So I'm excited, you know, it's a dream of mine to be able to do that stuff and hang out with them, just kicking back. And those guys are for what they go through, they are just as huge fans of this sport and normal people just like we are.
We're going to go Phil, Mike, and then Jessica.
Hey, Bubba, Phil Orban from WSOC in Charlotte. You were talking earlier about kind of managing expectations and staying patient and sticking with the program, but knowing how competitive you are, how tough was it for you to get in that kind of headspace and be that patient, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, you realize, you know, what, as you climb up through the ranks and get to certain levels, you realize where you're, you know, where you're at, where your team's at, you know, where everything at that you have in your camp is going. And you know, I talked to a lot of people, and I actually ran into Mike Skinner last night at the Speedway Children's Charity Gala. We were leaving and you know, he was one of those guys, like, doing a hell of a job and, you know, keep it up. And he was talking about, you know, being at the truck and Xfinity level, you can kind of make some ground up. But he says, once you get to the cup level, every single one of these nice guys, you know, keeping it PG here, are sharks. And we, You know, we're out for blood. Each and every one of us is out for blood, and there's no – you're going to get one or two spots to try to make better. But if you're off, you're off. And these guys will capitalize on that, and that's been probably the biggest adjustment of how aggressive you can be with these guys and not overstep the boundaries. So that always comes with a huge learning curve for us. And, you know, thinking that I was one of the most aggressive coming out of the Xfinity and Truck Series, and then got here and I got my teeth kicked in. And it was a huge eye opener for me, and that's been a fun journey to get a hold to.
Mike
Solarte, Spectrum News. Take these off because I'm echoing. When you look at first time winners at this racetrack for the 600, is this a dream of yours to obviously win a Cup race? But getting this one here in particular, is this one that you've maybe circled in your mind, saying if I can get this one, this would be the perfect start to racking up victories in my career?
Yeah, I mean, any of them would be, like you said, any of them would be special. You know, this one is a home court advantage for, I wouldn't say an advantage, but home court race for all the teams. I mean, except for, Furniture Row, since we're out of Colorado. But, you know, all of us drivers live here, and so we consider this a home track for us, and it'd be special to win here for sure. So we just have – we got a lot of work to do to get there. But you never know what can happen. You know, look at, you know, how the 3-car of Austin Dillon won last year with fuel strategy. So you never know, you know, if we put ourselves in the right position. Drew is good at really managing our races, you know, when they're not going the best way, but to capitalize on our position. So we'll see what happens when it comes down to Sunday night.
All right. Thanks, Bubba. Good luck this weekend.